Welcome to the ANews podcast. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on Anarchist News. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the nonsectarian anarchistnews.org. What's new this week? Announcing the Boston Anarchist Book Fair on November 9th and 10th. Quote, join anarchists and community members for 2 days of learning and organizing for a better Boston and a better world. Against a backdrop of a Trump presidency and polls showing historic levels of disgust with both the government and capitalism, anarchists are building toward a world without politicians or billionaires. Radical organizations and groups from across the country will be selling books, music, and art, and sharing knowledge at this community event. Unquote. The website is not working, so I can't do the research, but Akephalos is going, so go and hang out with them. Oh, and someone get us a report back, if you like.
Protest turns to riot against the release of the murdering cop of 15-year-old Alexis Grigoropoulos. From Anon. Quote, the release of Epaminondas Korkanias, Alexis's killer, came after a court on Monday, July 29th, 2019, reduced his term from life imprisonment for premeditated murder to just 10 years, on the sole basis of good behavior prior to the murder, meaning it is okay for any Greek policeman to fire at, shoot, and kill children as long as they haven't killed anyone before. Another outrageous aspect of the case is that the life sentence was reduced to 10 years despite the fact that a few years ago, during a trial, he publicly said in court that he will not ask for forgiveness from a 15-year-old boy for shooting at him. At the same time, Vasilis Sariliotis, his policeman partner in crime, who was on patrol with Korkanias on the night of the murder, was found innocent of any crime, despite the fact that he did nothing to stop his partner next to him from shooting, unquote. Obviously, as with many of these fucking situations, no riot could be big enough.
Anarchist Feels Circle Retrospective from EmotionalAnarchism.com. Quote, finding freedom in the interpersonal, unquote. Emotional Anarchism has an essay about what a feels circle is, which is not explained in the piece posted to ANews. I support consciousness-raising groups, however they may be named, and in these days of increasing isolation and renewed attention to mental health, they seem like an entirely appropriate tactic. This particular post is a review of a group hosted by the author, including positives, negatives, and lessons learned for the future, all of which are consistent with my experiences in groups and organizing. Quote, as there is now an anarchist space in our community, some members are starting different open groups around topics such as substance abuse support and recovery, sexual assault recovery, and neurodivergence solidarity. There is a lot of wisdom around about how to run these types of groups, and every different autonomous experiment has its own eccentricities. The importance for these projects will be keeping them running, even if they have low attendance at times, and also dealing with the delicacy of people having a lot of active triggers. Nonetheless, replacing things like AA with radical political community support is obviously far superior, unquote. Good luck to those trying out this gambit.
Fire Ant, Anarchist Prisoner Solidarity Number 4. A new Fire Ant, including writing by Eric King, poetry, Michael Kimball, Alabama Prisons, Noah Coffin, Summer Survival Technique, Thomas Meyer Falk, Memorial to a Friend, Sean Swain, Cannibalism, and more. Fire Ant is thoroughly punk style, low tech and charming with lots of heart.
Eric King's thoughts on Willem Van Spronson. Quote, why do we have to even consider success or failure? Why do we need to judge the fallen? Why can't we skip that bullshit and honor them and honor what they were willing to give up? Maybe we would have more people willing to take action if this sort of judge first attitude wasn't the narrative and they could shut the fuck up. Willem isn't a hero. It's impossible for him to be a perfect person. I'm 100% sure some hater will spend hours searching through everything he's ever posted to find anything remotely not PC to ensure Willem is shunned into obscurity. Who needs Russian bots or the feds when you have the internet quote-unquote anarchists? None of us will ever live up to our own standards. That lack of perfection shouldn't take away what he went out to do and the love behind his mission, unquote. A cry from the heart. While I think we need to gauge success and failure if we hope to make a difference, for any value of make a difference, and I expect Eric agrees with that, there is certainly a time and a place, and those are subjective. It's a quandary.
Responsibility claim for the parcel bomb attacks against former Minister of the Interior Rodrigo Hinz-Pater and Major Manuel Guzman from anarchistsworldwide.noblogs.org. Quote, on the 25th of July, 2019, a parcel bomb was delivered to Police Station 54 in Huechuraba, Santiago. The parcel was opened and successfully detonated, causing material destruction to the police station and hospitalizing 5 police officers. On the same day, a second parcel bomb was intercepted before it could be opened at the headquarters of Kenenco S.A., one of the holding companies through which Chile's richest family controls the Bank of Chile. A police and state-generated media frenzy soon ensued with much speculation regarding the identity of the senders of the explosive packages, now an anarchist cell calling themselves Seditious Accomplices / Fraction for Revenge, have issued a communique claiming responsibility for both attacks in which they stated that they were specifically targeting 2 individuals, Carabineros Major Manuel Guzman at Police Station 54 in Huechuraba and former Minister of the Interior Rodrigo Hinzpeter, who now works at Kininco S.A., unquote. Includes the translation of the original communique from Contra Info.
I love the idea of Fraction for Revenge.
I just didn't know if it was supposed to be Faction for Revenge, but I like Fraction better.
Yeah. Prometeo Operation, references for benefits and updates from Act for Freedom. Mostly an overview of the charges against and recent actions by Natasha, Robert, and Pepe, accused of sending explosive packages to some prison officials. Also, what has been happening with their hunger strikes, court dates, and prison transfers, and perhaps most significantly, what people can do to help, like addresses to write them, and, quote, again, we encourage all comrades, also in support of what they're writing to us from jail, to express your solidarity by sending letters and books to the prisoners. Their mail is undergoing political censorship, which means that some letters may not be received and others may take longer than average to reach their destination. Please do not give up. Keep writing. Solidarity warms and cheers up prisoners and their close comrades. We'd like to note once again that we are all their accomplices. That's why we will never give up solidarity and why none of our comrades will ever be left alone, ever, unquote. Also, many updates about Anna and Sylvia.
A communique from anarchist comrade Juan from the prison of Terni, from Act for Freedom. From Italy comes this communique that is more substantial than usual, by Juan, who has been captured after 3 years underground. Here he talks a bit about his case, and sounds upbeat and full of fire, though they are of course fucking with his mail, etc. Quote, a glance at our past is enough to realize that certain tensions and methods have always been used in the anarchist struggle, even before the birth of the Anti-Authoritarian International in 1871. I claim these fundamental principles head held high. I refuse any theorem that they want to pigeonhole me in, contrary to my most basic principles as an anarchist. And here it is not a question of saying that the struggle is nonviolent or of passing oneself off as angels or pious souls. It is a question of calling things by their name and claiming the instances of struggle that anarchists, rebels, and revolutionaries use and have always used all over the world. Unquote. Best of luck to him. Write an anarchist prisoner today.
Report from Democracy to Freedom, Brazil Tour. A report back in classic crime think style, i.e. with operatives, lots of pictures, lots of triumphalism. There was some touching stuff about Brad Will's memory living on. Book tours reports seem to be pretty much about shoutouts to the places that people went and reminders that a book / project exists. This one seemed to be just as much about how significant crime think still is, with photos of how people do or did appreciate their work, their activists, their art, etc. It is this kind of self-promotion that agency is all about. The super brief descriptions of cool Brazilian projects were nice.
Interview, anarchist volunteer with Congra Star in Rojava, from amwworldwide.com. A very down-to-earth interview with someone who was there for a year. It reflects issues with bureaucracy, lack of resources, white-collar training, and various other plebeian activities and problems familiar to anyone who has done social work anywhere. Knowledgeable histories of the Spanish Civil War include the context that allowed for the acceptance of anarchist thinking by large numbers of people, that is, the collectivity and autonomy in rural life. The people who report back from Rojava usually don't have that kind of a lens, but this one does talk about collective life, though there is no explanation of how this differs from small town or rural communities in general. Quote, the social context is wildly different from that of the US, so it's hard to transfer things directly. The local politics of northeastern Syria have had years to develop since the Rojava Revolution, so the problems and solutions develop out of that population. If anything, I saw the importance of knowing your local context. One of the major things I was impressed with was the ability of people across different spectrums of life to engage in the political process. I have a number of friends who are in their late 20s or early 30s and still feel a desire to be politically active, but don't have the capacity to be involved in the standard ways. The Kurdish movement offers a lot of ways people can be involved. It's easy to lend support financially, volunteer to house people, be involved in neighborhood self-governing structures, be educated for self-defense, or make room for one's children to do so. I wish we had this diversity of outlets for support, so my friends who are farmers, educators, social workers, parents, and so on felt like they could be meaningfully involved." Unquote. Bottom line, this interviewee seems, while not my kind of anarchist, at least honest and non-dogmatic. Refreshing.
Libertad, Selected Writings of Individualist Anarchy, from Unturelli Press, a.k.a. Albert Libertad, 1875 to 1908, editor of the influential L'Anarchie periodical, couldn't use his legs but used his crutches to beat police. Featured in various collections of individualist writings, here he has a pamphlet of his own.
Open Letter, Sudan, the Anarchists, from the Anarchist Confederation of Africa, Sudanese Section, via email. Traditional class action anarchists condemn a bunch of politicians in the most bureaucratic language short of legalese. Introduced me to the word oaklarchy, which, to be honest, I could have done without. Apparently oaklarchy means, quote, mob rule, the opposite of anarchy, which includes optimal order and law, unquote.
Anarchy is for Lovers, from Logos Journal by Benjamin Shepherd, a very long personal and literary reflection on conflict, friendships over time, how to make change, inclusion, exclusion, violence, the feud between Orwell and Alex Comfort, and lots more, from someone with extensive activist experience. Peppered with interesting quotes from others, as well as poignant memories of his own, this is worth at least skimming and perhaps taking your time with. Did I mention it's long? The bit about Orwell and Comfort seems especially pointed and validates Orwell's bad name, sadly. This piece is like sitting at your uncle's knee, listening to him reminisce. His analysis and friends will not be exactly yours, but there's tons there to chew on.
IAF-FAI Imposters, the FAI Mujer Saga, from Indigenous Anarchist Federation. A detailed explanation of a dedicated false Twitter account, bad faith accusations, and the headaches thereof. Quote, "We are still not sure whether FAI Mujer is actually an indigenous person who is too obsessed with conspiracy theories to actually speak with the people, if they are a non-native troll account, or if they are an actively malicious attempt to discredit the growing indigenous anarchist movement at large. FAI Mujer claims to be run by one indigenous Marxist woman, but they have provided no proof that they are indigenous or what people claim them." Unquote. What stands out most in this defense/explanation is how they treat the bad faith actor, aka FAI Mujer, as a possible family member rather than using the slash and burn tactics I'm more used to reading about or participating in. Something to learn from.
Treat Extinction Rebellion as an extremist anarchist group, former anti-terror chief tells police. From telegraph.co.uk by Charles Hamas. Quote, "Extinction Rebellion should be treated as an extremist anarchist group and police must stop their soft-touch approach," a former Scotland Yard head of counterterrorism has warned. Richard Walton, who headed the Met's counterterrorism command until 2016, said his investigation into XR revealed it had a subversive agenda rooted in the political extremism of anarchism rather than just campaigning on climate change, unquote. Does one laugh or cry here?
Developer Ori Feibusch says anarchists vandalize his Point Breeze home, from Plan Philly by Ryan Briggs. Mainstream media reports on a developer's house getting vandalized and a note signed with a circle A. Quote, Feibusch said there have been 42 major incidents of vandalism at his properties over the past year, some of which had not made headlines. Unquote. Unclear, despite a comment with links, what makes this developer worse than, or a stand-in for, so many developers and gentrifiers.
I Choose Anarchism, Comrade Keith Malik Washington, from AMW English. This blog post filled with exclamation points about how this imprisoned Black Panther is now embracing anarchism and how that means he won't be doing anything different is a bit confusing. Quote, "It is time for some action! Down with fascism and down with imperialism! Fellow workers, unite! Today, as I begin to turn 51 years old, I choose anarchism. I choose horizontal organizing as opposed to top-down leadership. I choose collective direct action, mutual aid, and solidarity. I choose phone zaps, protests, monkey wrenching, and tree sitting. I choose freedom. Freedom to say what I want to say and how I want to say it." Unquote. different definitions of freedom, I guess. At any rate, he is continuing to be active from within prison, and that is always worth lauding.
Audio and video, Final Straw, Move 9 Speak, Yellow Finch Tree Sitters, and Pansy Fest / ACAB 2019. An hour and 40 minutes, a quote jam-packed unquote episode of Final Straw starts out with the always wonderful Sean Swain. Sean lays out his in-depth plan for quote-unquote anarchist trolls to instigate political violence between Democrats and Republicans, a plan that involves drive-bys, impersonations, and sabotage. Next up are Janine Phillips Africa, Janet Holloway Africa, and Eddie Goodman Africa of the Move 9, which is, quote, a political and religious group that follows the teachings of John Africa and have faced heavy repression from the state of Pennsylvania over the last 50 years, unquote. They are asking people to help in their search for the incarcerated Delbert Orr Africa, by calling Pennsylvania prison and hospital officials. Last, an interview with participants of the Yellow Finch Tree Sit, followed by a discussion with the organizers of the 3rd Annual Another Carolina Anarchist Book Fair and the 3rd Annual Pansy Fest. The organizers of the two events, Pansy Fest being a musical, quote, benefit fest by and for queer and trans people, unquote, have joined forces to host a combined event this year. Discussed are the unique atmosphere of Asheville, the organizers' thinking behind the events, and the challenges of dealing with cultural appropriation. The last bit is kind of interesting, as they hope that attendees will have the agency to work conflicts out amongst themselves, although they do still have a, quote, de-escalation team, unquote, and I wonder what side they'll choose.
Anarchy Radio, an hour, Carl and Jay-Z this week. One call from Maria asking about identity politics and the Unabomber Manifesto, Jay-Z makes the bold claim that nihilism made the way for technology because reasons.
FRR Books Podcast, Camp Concentration by Thomas Dish, an hour and 10 minutes or so. Three dudes who are in a study group together talk about a science fiction novel that sounds like it's good, and Ryder gets his English lit on to introduce the audio bit. Quote, if that is the question, then is there an answer? Unsurprisingly, I answer a question yet again with a question. The beauty is that the choice is arbitrary and it is mine, even if it isn't. Embracing the paradox and a certain level of incoherence allows me to maintain some loyalties, mostly to myself and my real friends, while letting go of all the isms I once tethered myself to. Unquote.
Anarchy Bang, introducing episode 32, Indigenous Anarchism. 2 hours. Quote, Indigenous anarchism can be defined in several ways. These different approaches to land, people, and language will be discussed this week. We'll try to provide the framing to the different authors, texts, and actions that have introduced these discussions. This is all in preparation for the convergence of Indigenous anarchists in Flagstaff, Arizona, and what we hope to accomplish there and beyond. Should IA be considered a movement, a people, a fad, or a way of life? Is it a way to cut through the bullshit jargon of this world and just let people be? Join in the conversation, unquote.
Topic of the week, 9 years later. It's been 20 years since the WTO and the introduction to the American public of anarchism and our concern with matters small and large. What has changed in that 20 years? What has stayed the same? In this time of low morale, what still excites you about anarchism as a public position? Do you think anarchists should continue to go big in this spirit of tortoises and class struggle? Or should we become indecipherable and inscrutable, like the French texts so many seem to love? Georgia, what's your thought?
Hello. Well, I think you'd be better suited to speak to the changes in anarchism over the last 20 years. I was very young during the Battle of Seattle. I had a housemate who was there. I watched a documentary. I read essays, but I would prefer to get a firsthand account of the changes in anarchism.
Well, really the question for someone like you is, to the extent to which there's a memory of a time in the past, what is the difference in your mind between the things you've experienced in your time within the anarchist space and what you saw in the documentaries and riot porn and whatnot of that time? Like, I think that it's fair to say that the energy today is more or is less naive than it was then.
Well, my experiences have been really small. Like, when I got into anarchy, consensus process was a big deal, and now that's being criticized. Like, info shops are shutting down because of the cost of things. I've recently, so I don't know. I don't know if I've just been in my bubble to speak to something as large as changes in anarchism.
Sure. The reference, by the way, in the title to 9 years later is a reference to a band called Born Against that was big in the early 90s. And the song reference of 9 years later was basically about the drug war and how 9 years after some particularly restrictive drug law changes, essentially nothing had changed. Anyways, that seems sort of on some level seems like a meaningful reference to the anarchist space, both because Born Against is kind of an influential band, and also because that sensibility of certain kinds of things not changing at all, even though, of course, many other things have changed. So, for instance, responding to the spirit of the time, you know, with the inauguration protests was a way in which not much has changed at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sense of the WTO, you know, it was essentially a 3-day event. And for many people involved, you know, it was 3 days that changed their life, but, more or less what they were capable of doing afterwards were sort of replications of the same. And of course, in many ways, the positive thing that can be said about the, anti-Trump inauguration protest was that it was sort of more effective in the terms of black bloc thinking. There were more people who were appropriately blocked up. There was at least a sense of some coherence to the bloc as it occurred, and then it became more of the same: arrests, years spent dealing with arrests, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I threw down on some Day 20 Defense Fund. So from a distance, you know, it looked very expensive. there are a lot of, like, I've come across a lot of essays criticizing protest politics. There's a lot to look into. You know, I don't know where the point is, like, or where the line is to, you know, support a diversity of tactics. And like, where do you draw the line from, you know, can you say that, oh, that's not my thing, I don't want to participate, but, you know, you do you. I don't mean to condemn any anarchists or whatever they're doing, but I found a quote that you'd be familiar with. It's from Black Sea. It's the Two Steps Back article from Azalis. Am I saying that right?
What issue was that?
Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe okay. 2 or 4. But it says, tactics should be measured by their effectiveness, not their adherence to principles loaded with value judgments. Moreover, a culture should be created which embraces a diversity of tactics, wherein groups agree not to condemn the actions of others, refuse to cooperate with the police, and refuse to isolate those pursuing more militant approaches. And then there's a warning, regardless of individual and group tactical preferences, all choices gain strength when they are part of a broad space that cannot easily be co-opted and divided. Cannot be easily co-opted and divided. What do you think the author is referring to there?
Well, I mean, I think they're referring to the divided part in terms of the way in which social circles end up breaking up over some of these conversations/tactical realities. You know, it's hard for me to talk about anarchist activity in terms of effectiveness because it's almost never discussed beforehand, sort of like effectiveness by whose measure. You know, oftentimes the organizers define a certain sense of effectiveness, and then when it never happens, they kind of disappear because there's no need to claim yourself as an organizer after the fact. But you know, as far as I'm concerned, effectiveness by almost any terms are very hard to hold up. And I almost think that's a good thing. But I think a lot of times when people have this conversation, they're talking about, you know, their deep criticism. And it's part of this conversation about, like, how serious should anarchism be? And sometimes that conversation is scary and or terrible and or annoying.
Yeah, I did some research into the French texts that were alluded to in the topic of the week introduction. And so, like, Invisible Committee, Deleuze, Guattari, pardon my pronunciations, Foucault, Bouchelard, and Debord, for the most part. But anyway, from a handful of essays I've picked up, there seems to be pointing to insurrectionary anarchism with some accelerationist language. Andrew Culp did an article, Accelerationism and the Need for Speed, Partisan Notes on a Civil War. And speaking of Deleuze and Guattari and anti-Oedipus, saying their urging to accelerate the process is presented as an alternative to an economic solution. What is to be accelerated is the process of destabilization, also undertaken by capitalism flows, done so until it reaches a revolutionary point of transformation.
And what did you take away from this reading?
I guess the tactic would be sabotage. And then I was reading
The problem with the term acceleration is it implies more of the same until such moment that it means sabotage. But by and large, most accelerationists have found that they're not capable of speeding things up to burst through to the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there, I mean, we have anarchist prisoners or anarchists in prison for what I would categorize as, sabotaging practices. And the same critique with the J20 protest. Maybe it's just more needs to be done. But I wanted to speak more to these French texts. Maybe you can help me. So Alejandro de Acosta wrote in Ways In and Out of the Situationist Labyrinth, those of us who have learned something from it, speaking of the society of the spectacle, and some irresponsible others will have to rewrite it one day without the dialectic and in a way that renders the workers' councils a local solution, perhaps Council Bolos, and restores the construction of situations to its more critical place. Otherwise, generation after generation will continue to get mired in the crudest dualism of appearance and reality, separation realized. What does this dialectic mean?
Well, the first thing it means is it's a reference to Socrates first, and then Hegel, and then Marx, and then basically all the people who came after Marx who would fall under the very large category called Marxism. And all of them do more or less have different inflections on what they mean by dialectics. To be super generous, and it's fair to say that I'm hostile as a general trend towards dialectics as a terminology and as a jargon term, but mostly what people mean when they say dialectics is conversation that's more complicated than a Manichean or just two-sided conversation. So almost everybody who says that they're doing dialectics are trying to refer to their position as more complicated than just two-sided. So in the Marxist sense of the term dialectics, this is part of like the magic where Marxists talk about what it is that they're doing as being scientific, because of the way in which they articulate their conversational techniques and how it is that they analyze and disagree fundamentally with the other side of what it is that they're talking about. So what Alejandro is speaking to is the fact that dialectics, as much as it might be attempting to be not two-sided, sometimes is exactly two-sided and doesn't have the kind of potency and momentum that it thinks that it does or implies that it does or state that it does. It seems more focused on saying that it does rather than doing the work. You know, one level deeper, dialectics through Hegel implies that there's a thesis statement, like an articulation of a position, an antithesis, you know, sort of not just necessarily the response, but a position that the thesis is responding to that does have a natural arc of its own. And that after a dialectical process, the thesis and the antithesis meet into a new thesis form called a synthesis, and that synthesis more or less continues to have a new antithesis that it then has to reconcile it, and that energy of transformation into new syntheses is what the dialectical process produces, and it's the best possible thing you can say about this process is that, you know, these new things are created called, you know, synthetic conclusions out of a thesis fighting or battling or dialectically processing with an antithesis. And obviously other people are going to strongly disagree with that presentation. Oftentimes when I am critical about the quote-unquote dialectical process, what I'm critical about is how artificial it is to turn human conversation into thesis statements. But that's more or less what Alejandro is referring to. And there's a huge philosophical, you know, body of work, and more pointedly in the Marxist world, that, you know, claims to be radical revolutionary in the same way that anarchism is. You know, there's a very large body of thinkers and work about this topic, especially in the history of Western Marxism, which, you know, whether we like it or not, all that French stuff that we're referring to is the product of Western Marxism.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a huge body of thought, and, you know, obviously, like, as an anarchist, I think that the best position is to know enough to understand what it is that I just said, and then get past it, because I don't actually think that human communication falls very gently into this dialectical, jargony vocabulary. But for a lot of people, this is all they do.
It's the kind of a professionalization of the theorist, or maybe
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the next time we do this, we'll try to go a little bit further into the French stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to.
Cool. Have a great week.
You too. Bye.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Greg. What's New was written by Jackie and Greg, and read by Chisholm and Greg. No editorial this week again. We thank Aragorn and a friend for their help with the topic of the week, which is years later. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackcard.com. For news by and/or about anarchists and upcoming commentary, go to anarchistnews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room link on the news and or anarchy101.org. That one, that one, that one.